If you're a guest here this morning, or maybe you were away last week, I started a series of messages on prayer. We're calling that Prayer 101, just learning some of the basics about prayer and how prayer is important in our lives. And so this morning we want to focus on the theme as of prayer as a way of life, how prayer is not just something that we do for just a few moments of the day or something that we do in church, but that prayer is something that is part of our daily lives at all times. So we want to read two passages this morning, one from 1 Samuel 23 and also Psalm 5. The 1 Samuel 23 passage is about David, a king. Well, he wasn't king at that time yet, but David was in hiding from King Saul, and then Psalm 5 is actually a psalm that's written by David. So hear then the word of God. When David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors," he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" The Lord answered him, "Go. Attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. And then we're also going to hear from Psalm 5, a psalm of David. "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house in reverence. I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O Lord. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." So far then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, most of us have probably listened to the prayers of young children. How they pray with such simplicity, with such honesty and confidence. Nothing is too insignificant or improper for children to mention in prayer. They pray for God to bring back the ball that was lost. They pray that they might get a new bike. They pray that grandma's sore leg may get better. That God may help the poor people in the world. They pray that the family next door may come to know Jesus. More than once I've concluded, now, why can't I pray with such a simple, childlike faith? We teach our children at a very young age that they can pray to God about anything. And yet when they pray with such childlike simplicity, it often puts us as adults to shame. It seems like somehow along the way, many of us, as we get older, we seem to lose confidence in prayer. We lose that sense of certainty that the time we spend on our knees is something that's well spent for us. Prayer becomes a necessary chore for us, somewhat like doing the dishes or cutting the lawn. We pray because we know we should, but many times there's other things we'd rather be doing. And when we pray, it can sometimes feel like a hollow kind of routine, something we try to remember before falling asleep at the end of the day. And the interesting thing is we can have no problem spending hours watching TV. We can spend hours surfing the internet. We can hang out with our friends. We can do all our hobbies. We can play sports. Endless other things in our lives. And yet it seems like when it's time to pray, for many of us, our minds begin to wander. Our tongues get heavy. Our knees get sore. And after a while, we give up because maybe we're just bored with it all. Maybe we just feel like we're not connecting with God. And sometimes we feel guilty. Sometimes we promise ourselves that we're going to start to pray more regularly. No matter what we do, prayer for many of us can just feel like plain hard work. Does that maybe describe what your prayer life is like? The Bible stresses that prayer is as necessary for us as the air that we breathe. Without regular prayer, without us spending time with God on a regular basis, we will begin to suffocate spiritually. Churches become dry and lifeless without regular and fervent prayer. Still, prayer itself is no guarantee of change. Prayer is an act of trust that puts us in contact with the God who is the source of every blessing in our lives. An inactive prayer life only reveals our blindness to the power of God, the God who is in control of this whole universe. Now, when we read the Bible, when we consider some of the great prayers of the Bible, we see people with a big view of God. Author Samuel Storm says, if we're at a loss in prayer, perhaps it's because we're at a loss for God himself. And if we're at a loss for God, says Storms, perhaps it's because we failed to acquaint ourselves with the God of the Bible. Now, one person who was well acquainted with God was King David, the writer of many of the Psalms in the Bible. Psalm 5 that we just read together is one of many Psalms reflecting a deep sense of dependence on God's almighty power. It shows David crying out for God to help him through some deep and painful struggle in his life. He doesn't hold anything back as he pleads for God to deliver him from his enemies, knowing that he can't make it through the day without God's help. Each morning, David places his life in God's hands, knowing that without God's continual presence and leading in his life means nothing. The other passage that we read from 1 Samuel 23 is a vivid example of that. David had been in hiding from King Saul for some time, which had already made his life stressful enough. And now in this passage, he faces the danger of going to war against the enemy Philistines, who had already looted the nearby town of Keilah. David doesn't know what to do. Should he attack the Philistines to support his friends in Keilah or not? He wasn't sure what to do. And David shows his true character by not responding with a knee-jerk kind of reaction to bring revenge against his enemies. He first gets down on his knees to seek God's opinion on the matter. Verse 2 says, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack the Philistines? And God tells David to go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, attack them. But David's men, they were not exactly convinced that that was the right thing to do. And what does David do? Again, he comes before God and prays to God and says, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? And again, he hears from God, and God urges him to go ahead with the assurance that God will help him to defeat the enemy army. A while back, I was reading through the books of Samuel for my devotions. And I was struck as I was reading through the books of Samuel how often David seeks God's advice about how to act in a particular situation. That's why the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. The Bible repeatedly shows David taking time to pray before he jumps into action. Prayer was a way of life for David. What about us? Do we pray before we respond in the day-to-day activities of our lives? Lord, I'm looking for a new vehicle. How much should I spend on a vehicle, Lord? I'm thinking of expanding my business. Lord, should I go ahead or should I be content with what I already have? I'm thinking of asking Rachel out on a date. Lord, is she the kind of girl I should date? We're planning to see a movie tonight. Is this the kind of show, Lord, that I should be watching as a Christian? I'd like to go off to school, to university or college. Could you show me, Lord, what career direction you want me to head for? And Lord, you know all about those charities that keep asking for our money. Which ones, Lord, would you want me to support? Lord, I'm getting close to retirement. Show me, Lord, where and how you want me to use my time for your kingdom purposes in my time of retirement. As a church, do we pray for God to direct us in starting up a certain ministry? Or do we make our decision first and then ask God to bless those plans that we have already made? And when we're asked to serve on the board or some other position in the church, do we ask God about where and how he wants us to serve within his church? And when we feel inadequate, do we pray for God to use us despite our feelings of inadequacy? Do we look to hear from God in those situations? Is prayer a way of life for us as God's people? I'm always intrigued by the amount of time that Jesus spends in prayer. How we see how Jesus models the importance of prayer in his life. And yet it's interesting. Jesus was perfect, right? You'd think that Jesus wouldn't need to take time out to spend time in prayer like we do, right? I mean, after all, he was God in human flesh. And yet the Bible repeatedly shows Jesus going off by himself to pray. Or Jesus goes off by himself to spend time in prayer with his Heavenly Father. Sometimes we forget that Jesus was as human as you and I, that he had to ask his heavenly Father to guide him in the decisions of his life here on this earth. Luke 6, verse 12 to 13 shows Jesus spending a whole night in prayer. Why did he do that? Jesus knew that the next day he was planning to choose his 12 disciples. And I'm sure he prayed throughout that whole night for his heavenly Father's input in choosing the 12 people that he wanted to be his disciples. The Bible also shows Jesus in prayer the night before his death on the cross. While sweating drops of blood, Jesus pleaded for his Father to spare him from the agony of the cross. He even asked his disciples to pray for him. And he finally gave it all over to God, his Father. Not as I will, but as you will. Jesus surrendered himself to the cross to set us free from our sin, to provide a bridge to connect us as sinners with God once again. Romans 8, verse 34 says, Jesus is now at God's right hand in heaven, interceding for us as we pray. That's right. When we pray, Jesus brings our prayers before God's throne in heaven. That's why we end our prayers with the words, in Jesus' name. We ask Jesus to take our prayers and bring them before God's throne. And not only that, the Bible says that Jesus provides his Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. Romans 8, verse 26 says, we do not know what to pray for. The Spirit himself intercedes for us. Isn't that amazing? God wants to help us even when we find it difficult to pray in our lives. God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us to be a praying kind of people. God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us to have prayer as a way of life for us. Richard Foster, in his book called Prayer, says many people avoid prayer because they feel their lives should be in order, that I should have my life together before coming to God in prayer. That's not the biblical view of prayer. Prayer isn't something that we need to master like playing a musical instrument or kicking a soccer ball. God invites us to come to him just as we are, warts and all. God urges us to pray in the midst of our feelings of helplessness or weakness or incompetence. God invites us to come to him in the midst of every situation of our lives. Like young children who come to their parents to share both the good and the bad, God invites us to share with him all our joys, all our concerns, all our frustrations, without pretending to be more pure or holy than we actually are. In fact, when we read the Psalms, we often find the psalmist feeling free to complain, to argue, and even to yell at God at times about how they feel. The psalmist shows God as being perfectly capable of handling our feelings of pain, frustration, and disappointment. God wants us to pray about how we really feel about ourselves and not just how we assume we are supposed to feel when we come to God in prayer. And even though God already knows what's happening to us in our lives, God delights in the fact that we share things with him about the ordinary events of our lives. And nothing is too big and nothing is too small for God not to be concerned about those things in our lives. God invites us to pray even in times when we struggle with sin or temptation in our lives. See, I think sometimes it's easy for us to conclude that God doesn't want us to pray when we're upset or while we're tempted or about such things like gossip or greed or lust or pride in our lives. But that's especially the times when God wants us to pray. God wants us to ask him to keep us from sin and temptation in our lives. And sure enough, our sin can sometimes drive a wedge in our relationship with God. But trying to hide our sin from God is not the answer. God urges us to come to Him in the midst of our sinful struggles and temptations as we plead for God's forgiveness, as we come to God asking for His grace and His strength to turn away from sin and temptation in our lives. Earlier we talked about David, how David was a man after God's own heart. And as we read the Bible, we learn how even David had to learn how to bring everything to Him in prayer. Because as much as David was a man after God's heart, there was one dark blot in David's life that we read about in 2 Samuel 12, where David falls into the sin of adultery and then even the sin of murder, because David was in a situation where he didn't first pray to God to help him in that moment of temptation. David was in a situation where the comforts of life in his palace had weakened David's urgency to depend on God in every moment of his life. And his prayer life suffered as a result. And David acted on his sinful impulses instead of praying for God to help him to control his lustful thoughts leading to adultery. Now, for us to see prayer as a way of life, that isn't maybe the most natural thing for us to learn. I will admit for myself, I'm still learning. I'm still growing when it comes to prayer in my own life. And I'll admit, especially when things go well in my life, sometimes I act as if I don't need God all that much in my life. And admittedly, my prayer life can suffer accordingly. I don't know about you, but I tend to pray more when I'm struggling in my life than when life is clear sailing. But that's where we need to see prayer as something more than just speaking some words out loud to God, or maybe even silently to God. Prayer is an attitude of depending on God in every circumstance of our lives. To pray is to admit to God that we can't make it through the day or through the week by ourselves. As Richard Foster says, when we invite God into every moment of our lives, a gradual shift begins to take place in our lives. A shift from thinking about God as only one isolated element in our lives to the realization that we are part of God's life. When prayer becomes a way of life for us, God, in a wonderful and yet mysterious way, moves from the periphery of our daily existence to the center of our lives. And a transformation of the heart takes place as the Spirit of God begins to shape our thoughts, words, and actions. We find ourselves delighting in a continual conversation with God as we experience the richness of His presence and guidance in our daily activities. We find ourselves hearing from God in fresh new ways in our lives. I think too often as God's people, we tend to see prayer more as a duty than as a privilege. We segregate prayer into one small corner of our lives, and then we wonder why we feel distant from God. We wonder why we don't hear from God in our lives. But the only way to overcome that is to turn our ordinary experiences of life into prayer as we ask God to help us and to lead us in the moment-by-moment situations of our lives. And as we learn to practice praying as a way of life, our thoughts about God are interwoven with prayer on a continual basis. We'll find ourselves praying in the shower. We'll find ourselves praying as we drive the car. We find ourselves praying as we do the dishes or when we wait on the phone for, you know, somebody to help us in some way and they put us on hold for minutes upon minutes upon minutes. We'll find ourselves praying while we wait in the grocery line or when we're waiting in the doctor's office. We'll pray before we discipline our children. We pray before we make our business decisions. When prayer becomes a way of life for us, we'll ask God to help us in every activity of our lives. And then we'll hear from God in fresh new ways in our lives. And then God will surely renew us as a church and as individuals when we learn to pray in that way. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that we can come to you at any time, no matter where we are, no matter what's happening in our lives, and that we can share with you all our joys, but that we can also share with you whatever concerns that we might be dealing with in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for assuring us that nothing is too big, nothing is too small for us to pray about. And yet we confess, Lord God, that too often we try to figure things out by ourselves. We try to do things on our own strength before we prayerfully come to you. We admit, Heavenly Father, that prayer doesn't always come easily for us. Too often we just pray on the run, or maybe out of routine, then earnestly seeking you, and earnestly seeking your Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. We often pray more out of desperation than seeing prayer as a way of life. To see prayer as a way of seeking your guidance, your help in every situation of our lives. Help us, Lord God, in a time of weakness, in a time of temptation. Help us to just look to you to help us in those situations. We pray, Lord God, that you will renew us in our prayer life, both as individuals and as a church. Help us as individuals and as a church to learn to hear from you in fresh new ways as we grow in this area of prayer. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.